Welcome to The Walking Dead with three stupid guys, and as of now, there are only three of us here. Russ is MIA. We don't know what's happened to him. Who knows? He's probably getting some food. How's it going, guys?
It's going pretty good.
It's going pretty good. Can't complain.
We were trying before we started recording to get Mike involved on Facebook, but he's wanted by the law, and he can't do it. So,
join us. Join us, Mike, on Facebook.
In fact, Mike, I got to ask you, is this like a hologram? Because since you're wanted by the law, you can't show your true face. I mean, right?
Oh, that's a true face.
Is this a mask or is it just a...
No, it's not my slash mask. Okay.
Are you a host? We're not sure.
Are you a robot yet? Yeah.
Not a robot. Is that a Westworld reference?
That's a Westworld reference.
Gotcha. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Those. But, you know, if you like this show and the way it starts out, you can help us become a patron. You can become a patron at patreon.com/JayandJack, or go to our website, jayandjack.com, and just a little button there says become a patron. We're so close to that $1,000 plateau, which is going to have the crossover show between the broadcast and the Married Man show. Should be a lot of fun. Also, if you don't want to do that, if you go online and shop, if you're an Amazon shopper, you can bookmark our page. Go to jayandjack.com. It's right there. You can bookmark it. And Black Friday's coming up, and you can bookmark it. And anything you buy, we get a little tiny piece of it, Maybe you can buy some roller skates, and it doesn't matter. You just order, and they'll fit no matter what.
No matter what kind of roller skates, you just click buy.
Yeah.
Those couple cents will help us out.
That liquor that they had. I don't think you get that on Amazon. You
can't get the liquor?
No.
Can't get the scotch? But you can get the roller skates. And it it doesn't matter. One size fits all roller skates.
And a watch and balloons. It's all there.
It's all there.
It's all there on Amazon. Yeah. So, but so,
anyway. And we're pretty excited because the last 2 weeks, we've hit over 2,000 downloads. 2 weeks in a row.
I'm amazed at all of our listeners. It's we appreciate it, and we thank you. And we also appreciate when you give us feedback. Send in some emails. Give us a call.
Yeah. I just want to say it's been hard work re-downloading in iTunes over and over and over nonstop. But it got done.
It's long. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do, right?
From multiple IP addresses at that, too. You're just visiting different people's houses. Like, it's okay. I'm just going to subscribe you to this one podcast. It's cool.
I'm just walking in. You won't even notice me. I'm just going to be over on your laptop, your computer. Hey, it's okay. Keep watching your show.
I got to tell you, though, during lunchtime, going to Best Buy and, like, just downloading all the podcasts on the computers really helps out. You get, like, so many downloads that way.
Go to Apple, the Apple Store, and just keep doing that.
All the free Jimmy John's, Wi-Fi, the Starbucks.
Starbucks, it's all good. Anyway, well, if you can go and help us out, give us a 5-star review, we'd appreciate it. You know, if 4 stars, okay, we could live with that. 3-star, don't waste your time. Don't bother. Don't.
Or just subscribe, you know, so that you can get all of the Walking Dead goodness.
Yeah.
If you want to give us that feedback that I mentioned about, you can email us at, this is all spelled out, thewalkingdead, the number 3, sg@gmail.com. So that's The Walking Dead 3, as in there's three of us, the number 3, sg@gmail.com. And then our phone number, 385-309-0311. Yeah, there we go.
Call me down.
And I can guarantee you, if you send an email to that email account, you got a 99.9% chance of that email being read on the show.
Unless you're like one of
those
callers that we had back in our talk show day. Yeah. So, so long ago.
Yeah, those, a few of those. But yeah, we did get an email from, I was telling the guys beforehand that we got an email from some recording artist, recording studio in London, that they heard us and were so impressed they want us to be on their radio. So
Russ's singing voice is being talked about worldwide.
Only problem is it sounds like he's got food in his mouth, though, when he's singing.
It's the new hit, Sweeping the Nation. I've got a cheeseburger in my mouth for you.
Cheeseburger in my mouth for you.
It's the number two of all cheeseburger songs, right? Under Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get to the show, right?
Right. I like how you have The Walking Dead in the background there.
I am. I'm playing a little bit of season six in the background. I was
nice.
Catching up on an old episode because it had some reoccurring elements, I guess, that came up in this current episode. So
there's episode of Carol.
Yeah, Carol. Yeah. What happened to her? No, there was a piece of jewelry, we'll just say, that it reappeared in this episode, and it came from the episode called Knots Untie from season six.
Nice.
It's good, episode
good
11.
Work, Matt.
So, doing my due diligence here, you know, for all of those faithful listeners out there. Yeah. I wanted to be sure of exactly where this piece of jewelry came from and how it got from one hand to the next, because I think it'll ultimately come up again. So,
all right. Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, so we'll get to that.
Before we
get to that, I don't mind starting off. What did you guys think of the episode? Mike, you probably had the freshest take just watching it.
Well, my expectations were properly lowered by Jack. So, going off that, I liked the episode.
Did you like it? I can never figure you out. I figured, well, Mike's going to hate this episode.
I don't know. I like seeing like Maggie again. I like seeing Jesus. Could have done without Carl this episode. He was whatever the storyline they had going on with him was.
It didn't make too much sense. I liked the episode except for that part. Every time it was Enan and Carl, I go, God, it's like a train. It's like a train wreck. It just keeps stopping the momentum of the episode. It just. I know that. They're trying to get. I don't want to spoil the end of the recap, but to get to what they were doing, could they have just come up with something else?
Sure,
it's like, oh, we got to figure out a way to get Carl on this truck with Jesus. Hey, I know. We'll get some roller skates and go. I don't know. It just every time they would cut to that scene, I would just go, oh, come on.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's dig in, right? I like
Carl.
Sure. Who doesn't? I mean, that hair.
That scene, yeah, that, I'm jealous.
The hat.
That scene was just, that whole storyline was terrible. Terrible. But the rest of the episode I liked. But I thought Mike would hate it.
Right. Well, it's just like, you know.
Well, I also like that, oh, sorry, Matt, but I liked it. They didn't like focus on just one storyline. You actually had like multiple storylines going on compared to, there were
multiple arcs that happened, even though we were essentially in the same place for most of the time. Right. So, well, we were in two places, but essentially, yeah, we did get multiple arcs happening. Excuse me for my cold tonight, so I'll try to get through this without hacking a lung like Russ. So,
Russ has that permanent cold.
The mute button is your friend, Matt.
Okay, so the episode is called Go Getters, as in that famous song, Go Getters. I don't know. I assume one day there'll be a song.
Go Getters, Cheeseburgers in Paradise. I don't know. I guess, you know, after this episode, they're gonna say, oh, we changed our mind.
We're voting.
You guys can't sing.
The episode was, it opens with Maggie waking up, basically. And we see Dr. Carson, who reintroduces himself because we haven't seen him for quite a while. Actually, since that last episode that I just watched from season six. It's on Netflix, so if you have it, obviously you can catch up. Not a bad episode, though. Knots Untie. I have to say, rewatching that one, it held up. So,
there you go.
Anyway, so he explains that her baby is fine, and she has been suffering from, I didn't write down the doctor term, but the placenta is basically separating from the uterus, but not that much. Apparently.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, just enough that it put her in danger,
Was it due to the stress of seeing her husband's head smashed in several times?
I would say. I mean, I've heard of pregnant women losing children because of traumatic events. I mean, she's been through a zombie apocalypse and witnessing that.
Yeah, she's had it's been a rough go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked that Lori was able to carry Judith to term. So, yeah. Well, I guess she didn't really. That's a sore subject. Ooh, bad pun.
Too soon.
Too many puns too soon. We need to get out of this pregnancy talk. Anyway, he recommends that she stays at the Hilltop for the rest of the pregnancy. And Maggie walks outside to find Sasha. And she immediately asks where Glenn is. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I thought, did she forget what happened?
Did you really?
Did she forget what's happening? I mean, she was it was pretty. The last time we saw her, she was pretty. You know, she was out of it. I said,
sure.
Is she going to have to tell her? Well, don't you remember he got hit in the head with a baseball bat over and over and over and over again?
Well, that scene that opens up the episode on her eye is pretty red. You know.
Yeah.
It's almost like her eye is about ready to pop out. poor Maggie.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sasha takes her to their graves. It's too bad that Sasha doesn't respect the Hilltop death rituals.
Well, at first, I was thinking, I go, what, they just find some junkyard to bury the people in? I didn't realize. I don't know if it was mentioned before. I just forgot that they burn, you know, they cremate the bodies. But I was like going, oh, once they said that, I go, okay, that makes sense. They're trying to hide the...
I guess it does look like they were buried in a back alley somewhere. Yeah. Just, you know, unmarked grave and what have you. Well, at any rate, also of note, in that scene, I know many of you are going to want to go back and watch it just for this fact alone, but there's an orange rain barrel in the background. I have two of those exact rain barrels.
Really?
Yeah. I kept looking at that. I was like, that's my rain barrel. I have that rain barrel.
They stole your rain barrel?
I think I could recreate that scene now. So
that's good.
I just need a big tractor.
Was it an AMC Gremlin?
I was wondering what that car was. I'm glad that you...
I think it was a Gremlin.
I actually tried to search out some info on that, but came up short. All right, so Sasha gives Maggie the watch, which was the only thing that Glenn had. And apparently Maggie wants to ruin the watch because she just leaves it out there. She's like, I hope the rain breaks this watch. It's been a curse. Sasha explains that the only thing Abraham had was a cigar. And she, hearing that... you know, the doctor's orders, Sasha insists that Maggie should stay there. And I felt, you know, as far as this episode kind of progressing, I really kind of felt that Sasha and Maggie, it really became about the two of them becoming a family. And if you imagine the fact that they've both lost their loved ones, you know, obviously Maggie being married and having a child, but still they lost their significant others and they're kind of tied in a way that's different,
right?
You know,
that's true.
So Jesus shows up with flowers, green flowers, which symbolize release. He mentioned something about blue flowers. I didn't see blue flowers in there, but he says something about green flowers and that it symbolizes release. Interesting note about green and the color green, because it obviously comes up at the end with the green flower or the green balloons. But Maggie's last name is Green. So, yeah.
Good thought job. That was a... You're on fire, Matt.
Hey, you know, gotta do the heavy lifting when Russ isn't here.
And the color of her eyes are green.
Wow.
Are they really? I
yeah.
never noticed.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I knew you were researching that, so I wanted to look up something else that was green.
Oh.
did I say it was a gremlin, the car?
Yeah.
It was a gremlin.
And what was the color of the gremlin?
It was green.
Oh, my gosh.
Green.
We've cracked this whole thing open.
Green, and it's flipping you off. But I'm going to
get ahead of myself. That's true. It was a bird. Anyway, Gregory shows up with no flowers, which is the universal symbol for he's a dick. So
he's a bit of a jerk.
He is. I think that, she kind of calls it out later when she says that he's a coward. And I think we really can kind of look at his behavior throughout this episode as being, cowardly.
I'm looking at a screenshot of the flowers that are on the grape. It looks like lettuce.
That's what I thought.
I'm just looking at it. It looks like lettuce. So it could be flowers. Maybe Jesus is confused. You know, FTD floral shop delivery couldn't get by Negan's crew. And he just said, hey, I got some lettuce. They won't know. I'll just say, hey, these are flowers. I'm a guy.
Yeah. Oddly enough, if you watch that scene, because I have at least twice now, there are yellow flowers in the background.
Yeah.
That are growing right there beside where they're at.
Yeah, I can see it right now. It's like little flowers,
black-eyed Susans or something.
Is that what they are? Yeah. But Jesus brought lettuce when there's flowers all around it, but that's okay.
And about this time, Russell would be saying, well, why didn't anybody bring a burger patty and like tomatoes and buns?
I like the unmarked graves, but with the stick as like the tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a cross. It's just a stick. Yeah.
I would go with rocks, right? It's a little bit heavier, a little bit more permanent.
There are some rocks on it, but if you look at it, I'm looking at right now, Maggie and Sasha are like bending down. They're like emotional because Jesus had brought some lettuce. But the sticks are just a straight crooked sticks on each one of them with, I don't get the stick. What's the significance of the stick?
Just a marker. Okay. I guess just something sticking out of the ground.
But you got the rocks and you have the.
I know. And here's the other thing. You know, you actually know a guy named Jesus. Just make it a cross. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just the universal sign.
Right. You
know? Maybe here's the thought. Lettuce encourages bunnies. Bunnies are associated with Easter, the dead, the resurrection. It's all tied together. And Jesus is bringing the lettuce to encourage the Easter bunny.
Well, maybe Jesus brought the lettuce so he said, let us pray.
Ooh, I like that.
What do you think?
And what does Maggie do at the end? She prays.
Yeah.
All right.
And how does she know what grave she... I mean, she could be it's not Mark. She could be on the wrong...
I think Sasha must tell her. Yeah. I don't remember if that happens in this conversation. Yeah,
I think she does later on.
She clearly knows at the end.
Yeah.
So... all right. So, Gregory has his little, spiel. What did I write? He calls her Marcia. He wants her to make sure that Rich knows, that they helped patch her up. He mistakes Sasha as one of his own people and he gets livid, about not honoring their death customs, which I understand, right? You're a leader. You're trying to run this operation. People don't respect your death rites.
I was surprised she didn't call him out as being maybe racist because she just assumed, you know, am I missing something there?
No, I mean, like, he thought she was one of his people?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like kind of like plantation owner kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed...
It is a historic home.
The whole scene seemed weird. The whole scene was weird to me.
Here's the thing, and I've thought about Gregory's character quite a bit. Also rewatching this other episode too, where he calls her Natalie actually in that episode. I think he's drunk it plays into the alcohol too. And the fact that he gets rid of all of it and he's like, doesn't want to lose it.
No, that's a good theory. I like it.
Cause he's really erratic.
Yeah.
Like throughout the whole episode, he's really unhinged. And yeah, he's probably worried that they're going to come back and kill him or kill someone who he knows. So, he has every right to be nervous about that. But all of the mistaking of names and like not, I don't know. It just, that's where I was like, it's the alcohol.
Do you think that him and Jesus are, could he be a, could Jesus be his son?
I don't know.
It seemed like a little bit like as they were like talking like near the end of the episode, but then he says like when he came to this.
Yeah, there's it just seems like there's a father-son type relationship with him.
Maybe. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Maybe he was born to like a virgin mother.
There you go.
He never knew his father.
I didn't know God was an alcoholic, but.
The wine.
You know.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to say, just having a character on the show named Jesus, it makes writing these recaps so much fun because I get to look for those fun lines like, Jesus, do you have any idea what plausible deniability is? That was one of the Gregory lines that I enjoyed.
Well, if he is a drinker, then we know why he took Sundays off. Right.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we just got our bad review from someone who didn't think it was funny, but it's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
But I think it was a good point that Mark brought up. Oh, wait, did I get the name wrong?
Oh.
I was really confused because I work with a guy named Mark, so I was like, who are we talking about now?
I was trying to think what character was named Mark. Oh, but wait, Mike's drinking, so it's okay.
Yeah. There you go. All right, so Jesus insists that he will take them back. This is pretty much the argument, basically. I didn't mean to gloss over this, but I think most of this stuff is obvious if you've watched this. He doesn't want them to stay, but he lets them stay the night. Jesus insists that he will take them back. He walks away. And
I'll take care of this.
What wasn't the line?
We see the large tractor.
Like something like, oh, if you take them or something, you'll risk going back or something.
Yeah.
I guess he maybe risk getting taken by the saviors, I guess.
I thought so.
So you think he was at one point taken by the saviors?
Or taken by somebody, because.
Wouldn't the saviors, wouldn't they grab him again?
I just thought like there was like more meaning to like that line, they'll take you back or something like that.
I just think once you leave, you don't leave the saviors alive.
I'm glad you picked up on that line. I didn't notice it. So
I remember that line, but I didn't think about him being taken by the saviors. Huh. All right.
Back in Alexandria. And after the, music montage there, Carl is playing a fool's game of darts, and he refuses to go with his dad on this run. And Michonne also decides to stay behind and gives Rick a kiss to grow on. So
should they have moved the dartboard maybe over to his good eye or his only eye, or maybe moved it closer because he didn't seem to be very good at darts? I mean, you think eventually you'd at least hit the board.
You think, right?
Am I being too critical? Because he just keeps putting holes in the wall and someone's going to have to patch that up. I don't know. And you got to be careful with those darts because if you make a mistake, you could lose an eye.
Or you could hit a bullseye. And we're down to two.
Matt had to leave for a second.
That was really mercy there.
We said take over, but I don't have the notes, Matt. So at this point, let's go back to the part where you're thinking that he was taken by the saviors.
I wish I had wrote down a line so it would have made it easier to analyze what they said.
I do remember the line. He did say that you want them to take you again or something like that. But I think if the saviors were to take him, I don't think you leave them alive, right? So who else would it have been?
Don't know. I guess we don't really know much of like Jesus' backstory, I guess.
No. Even though he's like a superhero.
With ninja fighting skills.
Exactly.
Well, hopefully you didn't say anything disparagingly about one-eyed people for while I was gone.
No.
Okay.
No. We did that while you were here.
Okay. You just talked about me. Yeah. All right. So back from the commercial break, as most people go. So Michonne leaves on her little thing. I don't know. Maybe she's going to go out into the wilderness and be on the prairie lands of the cars.
That's what she was doing? Just going back out and doing...
Yeah, she just has a little punch card that she's, okay, time to go out and hunt for gazelles.
We have Matt going to the bathroom? Oh, no.
No, Matt, you froze.
Did I freeze?
You're back. So we just back.
You said a punch card, or maybe she's hunting gazelles.
Oh, and then I said something about, what was my last note? Carl notices Enid about to scale a wall.
Right.
So, and he goes out of his way to talk to Enid and say, hey, I'm not going to save you again. Okay, so don't expect after a commercial break for me to just come out of nowhere. Not doing it again.
Yeah, because I might have to go to the bathroom. So I'm going to go back and play darts.
10-4, good buddy. I read you loud and clear. You know, we all have things that we have to take care of, right?
It does. It happens. You know, it happens. I've been there.
Been diligent about taking these drugs that I'm on. So,
well, I just like how you said, I have to pee, take over for me. And I went, I don't have the notes. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. Wing it, you know?
Yeah.
You watched the episode, right?
Now, did you go in the toilet or did you use the sink like Sink Pisser Jones?
No, I am a human, civilized being. I just went to the toilet. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
It's thanks. I'll never do that again. I just forgot to go right before we recorded. That's all. So,
hey, it's a natural act. I mean, it's happened to all of us.
It has.
Comacoy does it every time he flies.
I was a lot more on target than
Colt McCoy.
than Carl hitting a dartboard. I'll just say that much. And
so Carl hit the dartboard is the same as Colt McCoy peeing in a toilet.
Twitter poll of the week: who had better aim, Carl or Colt McCoy?
I will just say that both of them have relate to the one eye.
There you go.
All right, let's get back on target, just like Carl.
Good, nice segue. There you go. Nice job. Nice.
He goes out of his way, tells Enid, I'm not going to save you anymore. She says, sure, dude. you just like watching me climb this wall.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is she still climbing the wall? Why didn't she just go to the front gate and say, hey, let me out. I'm going to go do something.
You'd think most people would be like, bye, Enid. Oh, goodbye.
Oh, there goes Enid climbing the wall like we can't see her as she's climbing the wall.
That's her special move.
I guess. At this point, though, just walk out the front. I don't think anyone's going to stop you.
Nobody cares, yeah.
No.
It's just one less mouth to feed.
Exactly. So.
Anyway, Enid makes it over. Carl walks away. They're never going to see each other again. And we get back to the hilltop, and we see Jesus is doing laundry, and Sasha, I think she's making a bed or something like that. I think Jesus is basically getting them their, you know, hey, you're spending the night here. This is your spot.
Right.
Or something. She tries to convince Jesus to, you know, basically help them stay, like, you know, stand up, be a leader. And again, another great Jesus line. She says, Jesus, what do you want this place to be? Which I just imagine the writers have just so much fun trying to come up with those. So Sasha asks Jesus, asks for Jesus to do more, basically. Sorry, I don't know what I wrote there.
Well.
Well.
Hey,
but
it happens.
Then he pulls this necklace from out of nowhere and gives it to her. Says that Abraham lost it, and he did. He left it. He lost it actually in their first visit to the hilltop. Right. That necklace was made by not by Sasha, but his other girlfriend, mm-hmm. Mike's love. What's her name?
Rosita.
Yeah, Rosita. So Rosita made this necklace, charm, what have you.
So that was awkward.
Well, is it because she doesn't know that Rosita made that for him?
Oh, you think that can come and play later on?
I think she's probably going to wear it, so and Rosita's going to be like,
and Rosita's going to shoot her.
Maybe. I don't know. Something's going to go down.
Carl's going to throw a dart at her and hit somebody else.
Only Rosita knows that, you know, I watched that scene again, and Rosita gives it to him while right after they just had sex and he's laying in bed.
Yeah.
And so he wears it and loses it at that hilltop. And that's also
when
did he
kind of like just drop it on purpose?
He was wearing it, but then he gets in that struggle where the guy's trying to choke him and then it falls off and it's laying there in the grass. So, but we all kind of knew that that was a symbolism of his love waning for Rosita and going towards Sasha, because he kind of makes his decision at the end, like, you know. Anyway.
I'm out of here.
I thought it was a nice callback. I like that it sets up another storyline.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I forgot all about that.
Well, at first I was like, did Sasha make that? And I was like, no, I think Rosita made that. And I wanted to go back and check the tapes. So so as they're kind of getting this right after the necklace scene, Maggie arrives and Jesus apologizes for the way Gregory is behaving. And there's a comment that's made between Maggie and Sasha, where Sasha says that he's an idiot and Maggie says that he's a coward, and it's worse. It's what makes him more dangerous. So, which I liked. I liked that kind of, I think it goes to his character and the fact that he just doesn't want any conflict at all. So.
But is he there to protect himself and the people that he's, you know, or under, you know, he's leading. Is that the, because you can clearly see they can't beat the saviors by themselves. So is that the correct move? You saw what happened when Rick attacked.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, what can Gregory do against this? You know,
right.
I mean, he has nothing really.
Yeah.
You know, just a place and to eke out a living. So.
Because they're the ones with sticks, right? They have the sticks.
They have sticks. They were out of ammo, what it was. They have some guns, but they have no ammo.
And now looking back, do you think the saviors took all their ammo?
Probably. That's good. Yeah.
Well, there comes the
Welcome, Russ, our visiting commentator of the week.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can. We're just at the part in the recap where, let's see, Enid is riding a bike and she stops at some random puddle of blood like you do in the apocalypse, because you're like, oh, I've never seen what a puddle of blood looks like. Let's look at the puddle of blood.
Now, maybe when she has her flashback, and if you see her parents, did that happen? Was there a puddle of blood that she looked at?
I was trying
to figure out why she stopped to look at a puddle of blood.
I don't know. I don't know what that was about. Okay. But this one single lone walker jumps out of nowhere. and it only lasts a second. Like she has barely enough time to even react. And it's not like the walker is attacking her. Because out of nowhere, Carl immediately drives right into the walker.
Well, we don't know it's Carl first.
The
suspense was killing me because I didn't know. I had no idea that was going to be Carl.
I could see by the outlined cowboy hat or the sheriff's hat. I was like, oh, I bet that's Carl.
The fact that he couldn't drive?
Yeah.
All I was thinking was he has got to be the world's worst driver.
Well, he runs over the walker, runs over Enid's bike.
Go, Carl.
And then doesn't kill the walker. So then he has to back up over the same walker to finish the job, destroying the car as well. And Enid asks, why? Why do you keep stalking me? I was fine. I could have handled the one walker. Thanks for ruining my bike. But yeah, it's kind of like a big why. Like, you know, why did you come back?
Because I like you.
I can't get over you, babe.
Don't you like my hair?
Right. We have the same hair.
It's the same thing. Always wanted to. Yeah.
Okay, so later that night, Maggie wakes up to the moon and to this noise. Sasha and her both immediately wake up, and they cannot get out of their cell that they're in, basically. And so they have to climb out through the roof window. Sasha is concerned about Maggie overdoing it. Maggie's like, hey, you can't do this alone. Sasha goes out, and Maggie takes the best position that she can, which is being a leader. I think this was like the flashlight moment. Hey, she's a better leader than this guy.
Well, I also like how these guys are just standing there. Sitting there.
Yeah.
What do we do? I don't know.
Yeah, the two guys come out on a balcony, and she's basically like, you guys, close those gates. And
what's to show how clueless they are at Hilltop. But I also like the fact that they had like all the music playing on, like making the more like chaotic scene. Like, even as a viewer, you're like...
Yes. The music was cool. It was Finlandia. That was the name of the song. Oh. Finlandia Opus 26. Maybe Finlandia is the name of the composer. You can obviously look this stuff up. It's on iTunes if you need it. But it's by the Helsinki Philharmonic. And from what I understand, it's a Finnish work.
You're full of
music.
Information tonight.
Hey, so, you know, doing my due diligence here. But that was what was blasting out of that.
Play that other song.
Which one?
Easy Street, probably.
Easy Street.
Oh,
they were torturing Daryl with.
That would have been kind of humorous in a different way. Like, if that was glaring out of that car. Well, the gate is open. The walkers are coming in. They're attacking. As Maggie directs everyone, Sasha and Jesus come to the rescue. Sasha with it, or Jesus, I should say, has these parkour kick moves that I would imagine that if you get the action figure, you'd like spin something on the back and he'd do those kick moves with the action
figure. Do you have to do those kind of moves to kill a walker?
Just helps.
They're just not that. I mean, it was cool. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. I'd hurt myself. But it just seemed like, do you have to do those fancy moves to kill a walker? I mean, they're called a walker for a reason.
It was to gain leverage, I guess.
Okay. All right.
And there was a bunch of, there was basically a montage of, multiple zombie kills and shots here at the end with this music montage as Maggie takes on the leadership mantle. And uses her knowledge to drive the tractor over the...
Well, fortunately, they had a tractor with big tires on it.
Yeah, no kidding, right? So, with plenty of gas and nothing weird, like, oh, you have to jiggle the key or you got to put a screwdriver in here to get the... Like, exactly. Luckily, that tractor was up to snuff. So, but I digress.
Well, you had to stop the music.
You did.
And they were smart enough to lock the doors.
Yeah. It was good thinking on her part. I kept thinking, like, will this actually crush it? So I'm glad that she had to go back over it a couple times. It wasn't just like the initial.
Yeah, it wasn't just one-time thing.
Yeah. All right. So
I think what we learned in all this is that her and Carl took the same driver's ed course.
Well, she took the living on a country driver's course, which I think is always far superior.
Oh, you think so?
Then, yeah, I do. Because, you know, you have a whole field that you can just drive in and crash stuff. And
yeah, and you harvest some wheat while you're at it. And, you know, it works out.
And wheat, you can make buns. And then that goes with your hamburger.
And you can draw names in the wheat.
Well, you can learn to drive a clutch. So, you know, unlike Daryl, who knows how to drive a stick on a motorcycle but can't drive it on a pickup truck, as I've noted from last season.
And look at Daryl now.
It would have saved him. All right, we come back to Carl and Enid discussing what he saw in witnessing the deaths, how he felt, a bunch of teenage emotion, the importance of him remembering the deaths. He wanted to watch them so that he would be able to kill Negan. And this is kind of getting to, I guess, one of the main story arcs, which is Carl's story arc.
Right.
It's a short scene, and luckily they haven't found the roller skates yet.
All right, so we're still cool with this scene.
We're still cool, man. Still cool. Just walking down the road. Back to the hilltop. We next see Jesus arguing with Gregory to keep Sasha and Maggie. Another one of those great lines: "You're not in charge, Jesus. I am." Gregory offers Jesus. Oh, the burden.
Hey, I did want to say one thing about Jesus, though.
Sure.
When I saw him doing all those moves, I was like, if that other group finds out that he's like that, I think Morgan's out of a training job.
Oh, you think the kingdom?
I think the kingdom would see that and they'd be like, "Yeah, Morgan, you're out of here. This guy is awesome."
Well, we have Ezekiel, which is, you know, kind of obviously an Old Testament name. So, and we got Jesus. Clearly, they got to meet at some point, right?
Oh, they have to.
Who do you think would win at this point in a little fight if they were to do UFC Morgan versus Jesus? Who's your pick for winning?
Oh, Morgan versus Jesus?
Morgan wouldn't fight.
Yeah.
That's probably true. I don't know. I would probably still go with Morgan with the staff, but if Morgan didn't have the staff, I'd say Jesus.
Yeah.
It's more wiry.
I think Jesus is pretty quick.
Right, but if Morgan's got the staff, I mean, you know,
you can only get so close.
Right.
True.
You can only be in so many back alleys jumping off of barns and stuff.
I was telling Jack earlier, I was like, that whole thing shocked me. I was like, oh my God, he can actually move.
Jesus has got moves, man.
He can move.
Yeah.
Well, we saw him. All right,
go back to the thing. Sorry to derail you. I just
no, 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 that's all right.
That's okay.
All right, so Gregory offers Jesus the burden of the saviors as well as the place. And, you know, kind of throws it in his face that he'd have to stay longer than 5 minutes. Gregory offers
which can I ask you, what was that in reference to?
Probably something in the past, or the fact that Jesus is always out scavenging, which is kind of like, well, you go out and scavenge and see how long you're going
to
be around.
I mean, like, right? To me, he made it, I was thinking scavenging, but I'm like, you know, scavenging is kind of like a way of life.
Or maybe Jesus wasn't there when Negan came and killed, you know, whoever they killed at the hilltop.
We talked about it earlier. So, there's something in his Jesus' backstory between this guy and him. I thought maybe they were father and son, or Gregory and Jesus were father and son. There's something in the backstory we don't know about yet.
Hmm. Maybe it's a father-in-law, son-in-law.
Oh, that could be it too. Yeah.
You know. That'd be an interesting dynamic if they both shared a loved one that they lost, and I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you know, Negan took, you know, the old guy's daughter, and that was Jesus's. I don't know. Maybe something like that along those lines.
All right.
Well, Gregory offers Miss Matilda. I don't know. Gregory missed it up. I'll miss it up too. Mrs. Maitland's. I don't know. It's some rhubarb rubbish. It's their going away present. Hey, thanks for doing what you did with the thing last night. But Sasha and Maggie argue their case. Sasha's basically like, let me work for her. Let me keep her here. Take her instead of me. Whatever you want. That's just right about when Negan's crew shows up.
Of course.
And just about then the old Duke boys got in trouble. And somebody rocking a Simon and Simon stash shows up. I don't know. His name's Simon, so I just wrote Simon and Simon shows up. But he's the Negan's leader's crew, I guess, that's kind of coming in. And Gregory ushers Jesus into the closet, so to speak. Or at least he tells Jesus to get the girls in the closet.
Right.
He does not specify which one, by the way. I did watch that the second time through, and I thought, did you say? But he didn't. Anyway, right after this moment, in this hasty moment, this fervor of action that's about to happen, we get this interlude, which I'll just let Jack take over from here. The next scene. It's your scene, Jack.
Where they come walking.
Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, where they come walking down the street. And it's pretty easy. It's not much that happens in the scene. Interlude of love.
The roller skating.
Oh, the roller skating.
Roller skates are found.
Here's my biggest problem with the roller skates. Forget the fact that they probably... It's not one size... Hey, Russ, is your car window open?
No, it's not.
Okay. Anyway, so... But if... Say you have to escape from someone and have to run into the woods. You can't run into the woods with roller skates on. So the roller skates are probably the worst thing you could have on. Am I right?
You get some good speed going. You could like cruise down that street.
I'm thinking roller blades would be worse.
That's
but
awesome
yeah.
That they showed it. The problem that I had with it was you have ever been rollerblading, but I've never gone on rollerblades where you go over like twigs and sticks and stuff like that and your wheels don't catch and they just like roll through it like it was nothing. And I'm going, certainly they're going to hit like an acorn or something. And they just went like, they just kept like rolling like it was nothing. I'm going like, these streets are dirty. Like if anybody had been on wheels, they hit stuff and it like, you know, you go flat, you know, face first on the pavement.
Yeah, there's a lot of flaws with the whole roller skate thing. I don't know who came up with hey, we're going to have a backpack on the side of the road. Right. And it's going to have two pairs of roller skates that both will fit them both perfectly.
Magically.
And they'll go, because again, if like Mike said, you get some speed going. Yeah, you get some speed going if someone's chasing you on foot, but if they're in car.
Well, and here's the other logistics of it. Who in their right mind in some kind of survival post-apocalyptic world is packing around a couple pairs of roller skates?
Oh, you can't leave home without them.
Like, I mean, what are you going to carry? Roller skate? I mean, I don't know. It doesn't, like, at least a skateboard. My comment was at least a skateboard would make more sense because you could tote something on it, or it's more one size user fits all.
All right, kids, we have to leave. We have to leave our house and go to find a civilization somewhere else. Pack exactly what we're gonna need: food, you know, medicine.
Can I take the keyboard? I'm taking the keyboard.
Roller skates. Yeah, we're gonna need the roller skates.
I'm thinking. Deleted scene. The cutout scene is they were jumping on pogo sticks down the street.
Pogo sticks, nice. I like that.
Yeah, there's just nowhere. I'd like to hear the writer's rationale for having the roller skates.
The extended scene is as they go down the road, they just keep finding all of this yard equipment like that. They find jarts. They find some hula hoops. They find the pogo stick. They find some the pogo ball.
Frisbees and everything. But it just absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. There's no way I can justify that stick.
Yeah, I was I'm interested to see what exactly they cut off of that to make the show, you know, what was not included, because it seemed very disjointed from what was going on.
All right, so...
I'll just try to defend it right here. Yeah. Maybe, like, in all this, like, the writers are saying, like, in all this craziness and, like, stuff going on, they could find fun somehow. Sort of like mm-hmm. Lost, when Hurley and Charlie found, I think, the car.
The van.
And driving around the field.
Sure.
Okay, but that's a bus. That's, I mean, and even then, people picked it apart.
Let's say they're trying to find some, like, lighthearted moment.
I agree. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, obviously, that's the...
Okay, go back and maybe they find a couple of bikes.
With pegs. Yeah, I mean, maybe they're riding on the pegs.
You know, maybe they're...
See, I think the bikes make...
You know, they're still kids. You know, they're like... You know, they're innocence and they're just being kids, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, that is the total thing that I have in my note. I have roller skates are found, hands are held, innocence is regained. That's it. That's the scene. I just, that idea that maybe they find something else or perhaps, you know, I don't know. It's fine. It is what it is. I think Mike's on something.
A couple of what are those things called? The razors? Those little
razor scooters.
Yeah, like a little razor scooter. That would actually make
more sense. They're off the side of the road because that makes more sense. But
it does.
The roller skates. I'm gonna call them out. I'm throwing the challenge flag.
Could have had them ride
right there.
Segways down the road.
Segways. Yeah, there you go. The traveling. Transportation of the future. I mean, it just the roller skates. When I saw them, he gets the bag, and I saw him. I go, "Come on, really? Roller skates?"
I liked the melodic kind of, you know, lovey dovey music. It was okay. I don't have the music written down, but at any rate, it was what it was.
At that point, I was hoping Negan's crew would come down and just run him over with the car.
They just come driving with the baseball bat out the window. Yeah. And then Enid's head.
You want some roller skates. Boom.
All right.
Roll on. Back
what's that? On that note, that's what we think of that scene. Not a complete reflection of the entire episode.
No.
All right. Russ, are you driving to a restroom? Do you have to go over to the bathroom?
No, I was reffing tonight, so I'm driving back.
Oh, okay. I just was making sure. If you need to make a pit stop, we all have to do it sometimes.
No.
And you'd know what I was talking about if you were here for the show. Oh, well, that's no surprise.
No, none of us are shocked.
Would you like some lettuce? I hear that's something that Jesus just passes out.
Hey, hold on. There's a bag on the side of the road. I think I'm going to see if there's any roller skates in it.
Do it. All right, back at the hilltop, Simon and crew enters the building. Simon wants to have a discussion. There's not a lot of dialogue that I wrote down for the scene. It's a non-social call, as Simon puts it. I do like the fact that Simon went out of his way to see good art. You know,
yeah.
He wants to see a painting, right?
Now, so, you're an artist. Was that painting impressed? Were you impressed by that painting?
Meh. I don't know. It's okay. It's just meh.
You like the ones with the dogs playing poker, right?
I actually like the portraits that were behind his desk. I do notice artwork actually in art and shows all the time. It's a weird thing, but it's what I do. So. And I do notice like when certain pictures appear sometimes, but I think that the picture that he pointed out to Maggie in the other episode that I mentioned that this episode kind of relates to, I think that painting that they talk about is more interesting.
Okay.
But anyway, at any rate, Gregory says that he got the message loud and clear. And Simon says, what was the message?
What was the message?
Well, you said you got it loud and clear. What was the message? Message received.
And that's when he says, the message was, Simon says,
I'm the new Negan. That's what he says, basically. Simon does basically say that, you know, they wanted to show, you know, their worth, you know, so they, I don't know. Simon's like an exterminator that infests your house with bed bugs and says, hey, see how good I am? Like, you know, after you have to, you know, get rid of all of the bed bugs, he's like, see, I do you a really good service. So
nice.
Anyway, Simon also explains that Rick and crew are real go-getters. So that's the name of the episode. And there's a lot of do you know what I mean moments in this scene.
And well, I like when failed to write, Greg replaced them all down. They died? They were yeah. killed? What?
You don't say.
He wasn't convincing to me at all. But now that you say,
where can I send flowers?
But now that you say, earlier you thought that he might be an alcoholic and might be drunk. Yeah, mm-hmm. he seems, now it makes sense. He seems drunk during this whole episode.
His poker face doesn't seem too good.
No.
Yeah.
I think you're 100% right on that, Matt. I think he's a drunk.
Well, and it would make just desserts as far as the fact that he, in his cowardness, tries to, and this is the scene that we're getting to, is that he kind of starts doing this thing with his eye, which I don't know. I thought he was trying to eye, like, hey, they're in the closet over there or something.
Over there.
But he decides to take, you know, Gregory's out to prove, like, basically that he's going to give over Maggie and Sasha, even though he doesn't quite say it, but instead he gives away all of his liquor.
which just ticked him off. He was mad.
Yeah.
He was upset.
Well, and then Simon even kind of like doesn't even like scotch, you know?
It tastes like Windex and bathwater.
Yeah. I'm a gin. He was a gin man, right?
He was.
Yeah.
He likes the taste of turpentine.
Hey guys, I'll be back in a second.
Okay.
Okay. He's not coming back.
I could disconnect him. I could just drop him.
I'm pretty sure he's going to the bathroom. Drop a deuce in the tube. Anyway, Simon talks, takes the entire box, says that he's going to give it to Negan as his own gift, and he gives this really great line of, you want to slide that one back in there?
He could have saved me one bottle? One bottle?
Yeah, exactly. But right? Now he's going to have to go cold turkey.
Now, how did they not see that box of scotch before?
Right?
Rampage and, you know, pillage and mm-hmm. the whole. I mean, that's something I think that, you know, I'm not a scotch drinker.
Maybe it's something that Jesus found when he was out scavenging.
Okay. All right.
So
it's a recent find.
Yeah, or it was something, I don't know, something he had hidden away. Who knows?
Yeah.
After this, this nice parting goodbye, Simon makes Gregory kneel before him. Much in the same way that Superman 2 makes people kneel before them. And I think they sport a pretty big, large mustache in that. Maybe it's the big guy.
Anyone think Superman that Simon 2? Was going to like smash him over the head with one of the scotch bottles?
I thought he was going to kill him. I really did.
Because I thought this would be a good episode for Gregory to die.
Yeah. Like everybody would have been fine with it, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I thought like
but
when that whole scene with like the walkers the night before, like they might have seen like Maggie and Sasha.
Ah, good point.
And been like, hey, we saw these two. We know you're lying. Like, where are they?
Yeah.
So here's one, since you bring it up, Mike, they don't really know that Maggie and Sasha were part. I mean, Simon could identify those two.
Right.
Right. And that might tip him off, but he doesn't necessarily know that Negan is looking for Maggie because he, for all intents and purposes, they know Maggie's dead. So
that's true.
It's not, but it's not like there's like a wanted poster for Maggie.
I know, but like basically, what, 2 weeks ago, they had all the Alexander people gather in a circle and they know they were there.
Right.
And so they would know.
Right, no.
And Hilltop.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think that Simon would recognize those two for being there, but just that idea that necessarily that Maggie's not necessarily wanted. I just like pointing that out because I think that that might come out as a reveal at some point that okay. she will be wanted. So, but wanted. That's just my speculation. All right. Jesus scours at Gregory in disgust. And let's see. Next up, Carl and Enid find Negan's men loading up a truck.
Yeah.
Enid realizes that Carl really wasn't going to get her after all. Like, actually, Carl legitimately was not actually going to save Enid. He was driving.
He was just out there for the roller skates.
What's that?
He was just out there for the roller skates.
He was just out there for the roller skates. He was just in it for the skate time. But anyway, yeah, no, he was actually, he realizes that he's out to get Negan. Or she realizes that he's out to get Negan. And if Carl asks her to join him so that they can have fun and killing together, I guess.
That's what you
come with me. Let's have fun.
Know, any good relationship you share in hobbies. And, you know.
Well,
why would you want to share in that?
All I can say is they move pretty fast. Like, 1 minute they're roller skating, holding hands. The next minute they're planning on going on a killing spree.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Things spiral out of control.
You know, I'm telling you, kids these days, you got to watch them. Like, you know?
every step of the way.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the downfall of Alexandria, if we think about it, is the fact that these kids can just go out in the woods, hang out, come up with killing spree plans. No, actually, Enid says, no, you have all the fun. I want you to just go do your killing on your own. Just come back. And they kiss. And this is the first time that Carl gets to kiss.
Yeah, there you go, so, Carl.
Yeah, way to go, Carl.
Can't drive a car, can't throw a dart, but he can kiss. He hit the target there.
Hey, I didn't think about the fact that he wouldn't be as good of a driver with the one eye either.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
Plus, has he been taught how to drive?
I thought he learned how somewhat, did right?
He? Yeah. A little bit. He went to the Maggie School of Driving.
Next up, Gregory finds that Jesus hid the girls in his closet, which makes him really embarrassed because that's where he kept all his porn. So I would be embarrassed too, right? Like, don't put the girls in my closet.
No.
No, that's where I keep the good stuff. The other liquor. Jesus forces Gregory's hand and basically, you know, forces that he wants Sasha and Maggie to stay, that they will stay, essentially. He stands up and or he's going to leave. And Gregory finds it best to he kind of caves in, but yet at the same time he gloats over Maggie after losing. And that's when Maggie decides to punch him. Which I think everybody was happy about. So,
don't call me sweetie. Don't call me. My name is Maggie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really cool line. She gives that great, don't call me honey. Don't call me Marcia. Marcia. She says her name is Maggie Ree. And this is the first time that we hear Glenn's last name. This is Ree, R-H-E-E. So I guess how it's spelled. Maggie, Jesus, and Sasha. We next see them staring out of a window at the Savior's leaving. And Jesus never thought that anyone could be a better leader than Gregory. But now he's got a crush. I mean, he has a new person in mind for being leader. And Maggie says, who?
In that scene, you've seen like Jesus like pointing his hand.
You.
Pointing right at Maggie.
Actually, if you watch that scene, he does look right at her after she says who. It's like, it's just like, duh.
So now we think that Maggie's going to take over that group combined with her old
combined
group,
with Sasha.
Sasha, and going with the kingdom and all these, and they'll take on Negan's group.
You've got a bunch of Alexandria people in each equation.
Yeah.
Maggie and Sasha at Hilltop.
Morgan.
All I know is the part that they left out is Jesus said, you're going to be in charge, you're taking over, but let someone else drive.
What?
But let someone else drive.
What are you talking about?
He's saying Maggie can't drive. That's what he was making a joke.
Oh, okay. You're talking about Maggie's drive. I'm sorry, Russ.
That's what Maggie... Yeah.
Go.
No.
I'm looking over the notes because we're close to the end here.
This is the end.
Well,
this
I thought it end. Was funny.
Laughing. Jesus basically agrees. Sasha asks to. Oh, this is what I was trying to get to. After Maggie leaves, Sasha proposes to Jesus that he to make up for, because he apologizes basically. For not standing up to Gregory. And to make up for that, Sasha comes up with the most impossible thing. Hey, why don't you find out where Negan lives to make up for it? It's like, hey, maybe pick up some more lettuce for me, or I like some cheese, or could you find a beer for me? No, she goes for the most impossible thing, find out where Negan lives. But Jesus agrees, because he's a nice guy. And then Sasha has to make it weird, because she asks to keep it on the DL. And she feels weird about it. Jesus feels weird about it. It's like a threesome gone bad. Maggie goes back to Glenn's grave, which is where we find Enid and the green balloons.
Right.
So.
And she had him on the wrong stick.
That's right. She did.
Now, why would she sees two sticks there? And so it's obviously, why would not put the balloons on both sticks?
There you go, right? Maybe she's like, screw Abraham. I never liked that guy.
Well, you should have got him red balloons. Right? Because he had red hair?
Yeah. There you go.
That'd be appropriate.
It would be.
Could have 99 red balloons.
Well, I like the fact that the green balloons played into the fact that we saw her with the green balloons at Alexandria. Yeah,
and she wasn't giving them up.
She wasn't.
No.
So, anyway, lastly, we see Maggie and Enid are sitting down for dinner. And Enid wants Maggie to rest. Maggie opens up that... Maggie opens up to Enid that she has a thing about crushing cars. That she did it in high school. I can only imagine that Enid's like, that's what I need to do to Carl. Run him over. He tried to run me over. That's the way we say I love you.
Yeah. But I'm going to make sure he has his roller skates on first.
Sasha comes home and they all sit down to have a nice heartwarming dinner together. Maggie gives Enid the watch and basically says that they don't need to have anything to remember them by, which goes, I guess, with, I don't know. She's got some weird view of the apocalypse. I think it's kind of sad, but I mean, what do you think? You know, it's like you give away these things. You just don't care about the remembrance of that person. I mean, is life just so awful that it's better to just forget?
Some people that way.
I think their memory is that they're staying alive, and that's the memory to remember everyone. That's why they kept saying, you know, we are.
Yeah, good point, Russ.
This is where we find out that the balloons are on the wrong grave, but it doesn't matter because apparently Glenn didn't like balloons anyway. So no. it's all spoiled that ends well.
Especially green ones.
Yeah, apparently he's allergic to them, just like the
you
green
know,
M&Ms.
I felt at that point that she was going to be like, ooh, he doesn't like balloons. Okay, well, can I interest you in a pair of roller skates?
Maggie says this last prayer for this new morning with its light for rest and shelter for the right, for the night, sorry. For health and food, for love and friends, for everything that goodness sends, amen. And as she reads this, we see Negan's crew loading up and leaving. We also hear this sharpening of a knife, which is, I don't know if you guys, when you first saw this, that sharpening of the knife, you were like, this is a weird soundtrack. Or did you pick up on the knife thing at first?
I thought it was actually going to be Carl.
Oh, sharpening the... I thought it was going to be Carl, too.
Yeah, I thought Carl. I agree. I thought it was Carl.
But it's not. It's Sasha with the cigar, which I thought was appropriate because Maggie is giving away the watch to Enid, and she is basically... She's taking on the cigar. She's taking on that aspect of Abraham, right. So celebrating. So I think that... I don't know. I thought that was a nice tie-in of the two things. We see Jesus jump in the back of a truck, and Carl says, hey, man. Hey, Jesus.
Want a drink?
Want a drink? Jesus drinks what's ever left of the open bottle and dumps it out. So
yeah.
That's the show. That's all my notes that I have for this episode. Thank God it's over. So, hallelujah. Amen.
So, Russ, what did you think of the episode?
I thought it was okay. I mean, not the probably the worst one out of all the episodes that we've seen, but I think it is setting up this whole unification for this war that's going to go on. Yet another big war. So I wonder how long this is going to drag out.
Well, how long?
Thank goodness they're not at a prison again.
Yeah, well, how long can they keep doing this? I mean, we got a battle, we got to do this, we got a battle, we got to do this. I mean, I guess that's just the way it is in this world, but.
Yeah. So, hey, I wanted to run something by you guys. Do you think in that Simon there was really there trying to find Maggie?
No.
I don't
think
so.
That's why he went?
No.
I don't think they know. I don't think they're aware of Maggie.
No, they were sending a message because
the only reason why I said that is because like Negan's group seems to always they knew where remember back at the end of last season, like every road they went down,
right,
they had it roadblocked, kind of like purposely knowing exactly where they were going to go. I was thinking maybe Negan had the group followed and saw that, you know, they ended up there and was trying to, you know, get like a measure of exactly where Maggie was.
I think if they knew she was there, they would have gotten her.
They wouldn't have left without her.
Yeah, I don't think they have any clue. I think that, you know,
they did kind of go looking for her, you know, and this was a
kind of like they didn't. They only came. They only came to send a message to them about the fact that they knew that they hooked up with Rick's crew,
right?
So they know that they hooked up with Rick's crew, and
that's why Gregory said we got the message.
Yeah. So that message was sent basically like, hey, you hooked up with Rick's crew. We know that Rick got all of those guns from those people and that Rick did this for you guys. So, hey, you know, we're going to mess with you. And then it just so happened that Maggie was there. And I think that if they'd known that she was there, they would have hunted for her. But, you know, until Negan digs up that grave or until he sees her with his own eyes, I don't think that there's going to be this, you know, oh, goodness, Maggie's in trouble moment. And she might lay low and just kind of be the brains behind the.
The only problem is Maggie doesn't know that Rick's already lied about her being alive.
That's true.
So okay. If Negan does see her, does he go back to Alexandria and say, someone has to die because you lied to me? And is it the preacher?
Sure.
Is it drawing a blank on the preacher guy?
I could
Gabriel.
See
it. Gabriel died? Is Carl died? Does someone die because, you know?
Well, it was Gabriel's plan, sort of.
Yeah. So does someone have to die because, I mean, there's going to have to be some kind of, there has to be a reason why they said, oh, I want Maggie, here's her grave, and something's going to happen with that, and someone's got to pay the price.
Somebody has to answer to Lucille.
I did like this episode for, the character development between the two characters of Sasha and Maggie. I thought it was nice pairing them up together. And, the Carl stuff, I think, paid off at the end. And I'm okay with the Enid stuff. I just, the roller skating thing was like one, it was a shark too far.
Yeah, I agree.
So you might as well have put skis on him, made him jump over sharks.
Yeah, I could have done without the whole Enid and Carl scenes, but I know they were trying to get Carl on the truck with Jesus, but could have done it a different way. He could have just set out on his own to go after him, and then, but who knows? It is what it is.
Yeah. some feedback from the Facebook group. I know that Randy wrote. I want to just kind of mention him because apparently the only reason he watches The Walking Dead is so that he enhances his enjoyment of the Three Stupid Guys. So,
all right, thank you, Randy.
Yeah, what a nice compliment. It means that you're actually watching a show just so that you can listen to our podcast, which is like the reverse of what most people do. But apparently he was a sports talk fan, and as we've changed our format and have sports talk at the end, I think he's just kind of joined along for the ride. So he also mentions that he likes hearing Miami Mike say Carl.
Carl.
You can't do it when you laugh, can you?
I'll say
can't do it under pressure.
You can do it for next.
Well, if you haven't seen him, he's all red right now.
It'll be a teaser to get it back to listen next week's episode.
All right, there you go.
Jessica apparently liked the episode. She also liked. She said it was the favorite episode of the season so far for her, and she really liked the scene with the roller skates, which
makes sense because she's from Canada or whatever she's from.
Roller skating's huge in Canada.
I think it's Wisconsin.
Same thing. So same
I think
thing.
Is that.
Oh, hey, okay. Isn't Wisconsin the home of roller skates and balloons?
It's second-rate cheese. It's what they're home of.
Oh man,
they use roller skates to deliver the cheese, and then they use balloons to make it.
Got it.
We'll just kind of finish up. One last note about the. The Walking Dead, I know Carrie brought this up also in the group, is this, the increasing impatience with the three separate storylines. And it's kind of the broken record that we kind of come back to season in and season out with The Walking Dead, where we, I think, feel like we pull our hairs at episodes like this, where it feels like, okay, a couple weeks ago we had that really extra long episode. And was there a way to shave or contain or move something around? And clearly there wasn't, but I feel like there are some episodes that go on a little too long. I did like that this had multiple storylines, but it was still bottled, I guess.
Well, you had me nervous there when you started out that statement, Sam, the increase in impatience with the three stupid guys.
Three.
Well, if you were on Facebook, you would have known it wasn't that bad.
That's why I tune into the show every week, so I can find out what's on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, if you want to, you can get on the Jay and Jack Facebook group, join in on all of the TV discussion there, and like Jay, now I'm miscalling you. I'm the drunk Gregory now. Like Jack mentioned earlier, you know, there's a lot of different levels of ways that you can help support. I think just by even just going to jandjack.com, you can kind of help support us through the Patreon or click on the Amazon link, like we mentioned.
Black before. Friday's coming up. Do your shopping. Bookmark it.
Besides thanking the Facebook people, you should thank some special patrons.
Yes, we have Good Golly Miss Molly, Eckhart Richter Glatfelter, and Brad from Chicago, and Tack from Tokyo.
All right, four.
Thanks for doing what That's you awesome. Do.
And with that note, I think we'll segue into our sports talk, right?
Now just go right to sports talk. You guys ready for that?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ah! All right, so what happened? I didn't watch. I watched some football this week, but didn't. My Chargers had the week off, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, watching a disaster.
The Chargers had their healthiest week of the NFL season.
No, I think they probably still lost a couple players. I did read something that the Chargers are leading the league in games lost by players. 210 games they've lost so far this season to injuries. Their players. They have 19 players that have been put on IR. I think the Patriots have 3 for this season. So you could, not that the Chargers are the Patriots level and those players are that good, but 19 players a lot. I mean, I'm not complaining, but 19 players. They still have the crappy coach, so it doesn't matter. And then the Colts won.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an exciting win.
It's funny because I texted, hey, why didn't I pick, did I really pick Tennessee? And it was 21-0. Matt goes, oh, they could still screw this up. And it did look like they were going to screw it up.
They did, didn't it? They did, didn't it? Yep.
Yep. It's like they almost gave it away. But
yeah. Well, and that was, you know, just word to the wise for those of you that do like to put on a football game like I do and maybe work on projects around the house. Sometimes those projects can become oh so annoying when the football game maybe not be going your way. Or maybe when you have the football game on, you've got your project, and then your wife, not my wife, of course, but all of a sudden she kind of enters in the picture, doesn't make the project go smoother, and all of a sudden the football game's not going easier, and then all of a sudden the whole thing's falling apart like a house of cards. You got wife, your work, and the football game. Your whole Sunday's collapsed right in front of your eyes. But
I've been there.
You might as well just go look for a bag of roller skates.
Yeah.
Okay, I was listening to, I don't know if it's Stu Gatz and Dan Levitar, if it was Mike and Mike, but they talked about with the Colts-Tennessee game, they said, which quarterback would you want? If you had to start a team from scratch, Mariota or Luck? Who would be your choice? And I'll go right down. We'll start with Matt.
Well, of course I'm going to say Luck. I mean,
you're starting a team.
Yeah.
Two young quarterbacks. I think Luck's been in the league 4 years. Mariota's right. Second year.
Here's the one thing. If you were starting a league, you could get Mariota for a less money, and you could put that money into better places and positions.
Okay.
And that is the one thing that I think has hurt the Colts, not with the Manning years, but also now with the Luck years, is that money is, you know, in Ursay's grand scheme of like throwing as much money as he can at that quarterback, it ties so much up into that you're not fluid enough to fill in some of those gaps.
All right. So you'd still go with Luck, though?
I'd still go with Luck, yeah.
All right, Mike?
I would just say Andrew's been a little unlucky with his coach. But because when he had Arians there, the offense like looked really good. But yeah. Gano, he's just like horrible with him. So I'd go with Luck. I give him like more of a chance.
All right, Russell.
Although Mariota's been looking like amazing like last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, Russell.
I'd probably go with Russell Wilson.
All right, you have two choices: Luck or Mariota. That's not the game.
I go with Luck.
Okay, I'm the only one going with Mariota. Mariota. I'm going with the Tennessee kid. I just like him. He's got he just looks like a good young. And plus, Luck, like you said, I agree with Mike. The coaching's bad. His offensive line is terrible. But I don't know. I just want to be different.
Yeah. Hey.
We talked about it earlier this season. Look at the teams with really – you would look at and go, those are great quarterbacks. Those are the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, and their teams are terrible. You look at Green Bay. That's a mess. You have Aaron Rodgers, who people would say is the best quarterback in the NFL. They can't win. Right? So,
yeah. No,
they've got a lot of injuries, too.
Yeah, it just shows you that you need, like Matt was saying, you give all your money to the quarterback, then you don't have the resources to give it to the other players. So
you can't go as deep, even, no. You know? So, you know, when it does get to that third string, you're really scraping the barrel because you've already tapped all your resources. I mean, you can only say the every man up line,
yeah,
right?
Next man up.
Next man up. I mean, we've heard it, you know. But you can only do that so much. At some point, that next man up is so good.
But right? That's not necessarily true, because look at New England. They've got like a lot of no-name guys.
But is that also part of like the coaching brain staff that they have in place that really
crunches
those numbers?
And I know Patriot fans hate to hear system, but I don't understand why you're upset about it. You win every year. Who cares? You have a system in place where the players, they don't make a lot of mental mistakes, because if they do, they're out. They're history.
I mean, if they ask for too much money, they're also out.
Exactly. So I don't know. They win every year, and you see the same team struggling every year. And I can point to my team as being one that just seems the same problems every single year. Anyway, go to the total so far. Matt, you're still in first place. You've reached the century mark. You have 100 correct picks this year. Russ, you're still 3 behind. You're at 97. Mike, 6 behind, 94. And Jack, 8 behind at 92.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. Well, from what I understand, there's not a lot of differentiation this week because we all took the Thanksgiving week off.
Well, we do have three Thanksgiving Day games. The first game is Minnesota D-Town. We all went with Detroit. No chance for Minnesota. Nobody thinks. I almost went with Minnesota.
We just all lost faith after North Turner left. Like, we can't believe in them anymore.
Well, no, Minnesota just beat the Arizona Cardinals. I picked the Arizona. Minnesota won. So clearly they could be rolling as far as a winning team goes. So I think we're all kind of leaning towards Detroit because it's at home, right?
Yeah, Detroit, yeah. And they've been winning.
So they have.
So
I took them because they were at home. That was the only reason.
If it had been Minnesota, I would have flip-flopped it. I would have gone Minnesota at home.
Yeah, I would have too.
Right. But remember when we always kind of railed on Detroit having this Thanksgiving Day game, and now it's like, okay, well, they're not bad, so this is actually an exciting game.
It's almost like they have Barry Sanders back.
All they had to do was get rid of Calvin Johnson. He was holding them back.
Yeah.
It's a cog in the wheel, man. You know, too much money.
Calvin Johnson finished third in Dancing with the Stars. Little spoiler alert. Sorry if you're waiting to watch that.
Tune in to the Dancing with the Stars podcast with Jack and Cindy.
Yep.
To get the full recap.
And Heather.
Full recap. Okay, next up we have Washington versus Dallas. And three of you took Washington, and the lone person, I took Washington. I took Washington.
Wait, three of us took Dallas.
Is what I say.
Three of us took Washington.
Okay. Three of you took Dallas, and I took Washington. And for no other reason than I knew I needed to catch up. I knew all three of you would take Dallas, so I took Washington just for a hope of
I think it was more about the person in the chat. You wanted to pick against them.
Well, always, but no, I Dallas will probably win this game, but
this was you going out on a limb here.
I'm 8 behind. I have to take some chances.
Well, see, you know, I like the fact that you're behind and you take chances. I'm in the lead, and I still take chances, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm just calling out our other sports
podcast. You call out Russ.
There was some things that were said in the texting. You know, I held back. I deleted four-letter word, you know. But, you know, Russ tends to pick the favorites and doesn't go out on any limbs. Now, last week, I went on some limbs. I took some teams. Some of them didn't pay off, but some of them did. So
you're saying, well, Russ picks strictly the favorites?
I am. Saying he just picks the favorites. He's like, I'm no better because I only varied once.
Are we picking to be different or are we picking to win?
Well, I guess we'll find out because, you know, next week. I mean, there's no way that all of the favorites win, right?
I know, statistically,
it's impossible.
Like, which game do you not take the favorite in? I mean, it was a tough.
Right.
I mean,
yes, especially like, for the Thursday. Right?
You take Washington.
I saw that I had all the favorites.
You take Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I mean, Minnesota of the Thursday games. You know, that would probably be the one that.
That's the one that has a legitimate chance to win Minnesota.
I mean, you know, Washington. Washington has a chance of upsetting Dallas just because it's a divisional game, and Washington always plays them hard.
It is Thanksgiving. It is Cowboy Country. You know, the Republicans just won. I mean, come on. Jerry Jones is going to have George W. Bush in there. You cannot fail on Thanksgiving Day in Dallas.
There'll be 92,000 like screaming fans there going.
It would be humiliating if Cowboys lost to.
There'd be 92,000 screaming fans there and people on Twitter watching Cowboy fans going, Dez Bryant caught that ball. We should have won the game. That was a catch because they still haven't gotten the fact that that's the rule. You have to follow through with the catch, and they always get upset every single time Dez Bryant drops the ball when he hits the ground.
Yeah. You know, Green Bay could bounce back and have a good game. You know, they're due
All right, next game up. I went out on a limb.
Yeah, you're the only one who took the Colts.
Yeah, big surprise there. And I guess it is a big surprise because I didn't realize that Andrew Luck was not going to be in this game. Yep. So
insert Sorgi.
Yeah.
Is it official already?
No, Sorgi's not playing.
I thought he was in the concussion protocol right now.
Concussion protocol, yeah. But Roethlisberger thinks he's going to play.
It probably doesn't help that it's a Thursday game versus a Sunday.
Right.
You would have had more time.
Right. Well, and I think probably looking at their chances.
They're talking on ESPN that he wasn't going to have enough time to clear it. So
even if Indy's looking at it as like, okay, we don't want to risk Luck going in to like let's say Pittsburgh, right? You know, because we know that they don't play necessarily clean all the time. Even so, and they're just saying, okay, if we win this week, perhaps we can bounce back next week. Regardless, I'm still taking the Colts. I'm hoping for a Thanksgiving Day miracle. I'm expecting the worst, but you know what? Unlike other people, I'm going out on a limb. I don't care. Come hell or high water, Luck or no Luck, picking the Colts this week.
There you go. What a man. Next up, we have Tennessee versus Chicago, and the only one who took Chicago is Mike. Are you taking Chicago because you know Jay Cutler is not playing?
Yeah, I think everybody hates Jay Cutler on the Chicago Bears that they're finally like, yes, he's out of here. We can go out and play hard.
So that was your strategy behind that one?
Yeah.
All right.
That makes sense to me.
He's out for the season, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, Jags. Where's he going to be playing next year? Where do you guys think he's playing?
Cleveland. The Jags?
Cleveland.
What about Romo? Where's Romo playing?
Cleveland. Washington.
You're going to have the number one pick. Why would you take and you have a rebuilding? Why would you take a quarterback like Cutler or Romo? Sure. Why would you take on that payroll?
That's a good point.
I think Romo retires.
Yeah, I don't think he retires.
You don't think so?
No. You know what? There's always seems like a lot of Dallas guys, as they get on up in their careers, ends up in Arizona. I can steer him ending up in Arizona.
Yeah, because Carson Palmer might be done.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Jags and Bills. We all took the Bills. Arizona, Atlanta. This is how far Arizona's fallen. Nobody even went with Arizona. New York Giants, Cleveland. Shocker. No one took Cleveland. The Rams and New Orleans.
I can't believe that's not a 10-point spread.
Seven is what I saw.
Yeah,
seven.
Yeah, I can't believe it's not 10.
I don't know what to tell you. Rams versus New Orleans.
Eli Manning, you know, like, you know, Super Bowl MVP.
Rams versus New Orleans. No one took the Rams. 49ers versus Miami. We're all on the Miami bandwagon. I was one year too early.
I think it's more that we're not on the 49ers bandwagon. Really, Miami, let's just be honest, right?
Miami is what, they're what, 6-4 now?
6-4 with a 5-game win streak.
There you go.
They somehow pulled off a miracle win on Sunday.
Yeah. Next up, San Diego versus Houston. One person took San Diego, and it wasn't me.
Ooh. How does that feel, Jack?
That's fine. Mike, what's your rationale for this? We did sign Ronnie Hillman today.
Just because Brock Osweiler hasn't looked that good this year, and San Diego is coming in fresh off a bye week, so they'll be well rested.
Fresh, they don't lose anybody last week. They don't have one receiver that was drafted. Right now, they don't have one receiver that's drafted, and also they lost their run stuffer last week against Miami. So I don't know. I'm going to be rooting for San Diego.
Are you?
I am
like,
too.
Sounds like you've thrown in the towel, Jack. You've thrown in the towel and the pair of roller skates.
I'm throwing it all in kitchen sink too. But I'll root for my Chargers. But I don't see it happening.
What kind of kitchen sink?
The farmer's sink.
Not one that Nick's messed with, right?
No, I don't touch Nick's sink. No, because I'm sure he's a bachelor and probably doesn't use bleach.
Yeah.
So. Next up, Seattle versus Tampa Bay. Clean sweep there. Carolina versus Oakland. Oakland, is this team going to the Super Bowl?
I hope not.
That can't happen. There's no way Oakland makes it past New England.
All right.
That can't happen. The only way that could happen is that if it's in Oakland and Tom Brady shanked on the way to the game, right?
Which could probably happen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We're not condoning that. We're not asking.
I'm just saying that it's most likely to happen in an Oakland game.
And speaking of New England, next up, New England versus the Jets. Nobody has any confidence in Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Jets. We all went with New England. Kansas City versus Denver. One person went with Kansas City, and it wasn't Russ.
Huh.
I was just in a festive mood this week, Thanksgiving week. I was like picking all the other host games, like San Diego, Kansas City. I just felt for you guys.
Well, you know, Kansas City could win this game. Denver's not that good. The only reason I went with Denver, it's in Denver.
That's why.
But yeah. Denver's been a little off and on.
It's hard to go against Denver at home.
Yeah.
Denver's been a little off and on like these last few weeks, whereas Kansas City had a 5-game win streak before losing at Tampa. So I think
Kansas City can hold them in the first half, right? Because that's how you beat Denver. You come out, you knock them in the mouth, you keep them down, you know. So
I look at both these teams; they're both boring,
right?
But they win. I mean, they're just two boring teams. But they have strong defense.
That would explain the lowest total points spread. Of the week.
That would
it's
39 points.
39?
I'd take the under, right? I guess if Kansas City wins, it'd be an under. But, yeah, I'd take the under on that.
Yeah. And the final game, the Monday night game, Green Bay versus Philly, and this is how far Green Bay has fallen. Not one person took Green Bay.
Slacker Packers lose.
Yeah, I think it's just like the other one there. I think it's just that we're anti –
You can't trust them. You can't trust Green Bay, right?
No.
I mean, Russ, you picked them for the Sunday night game. Did you watch that game?
I did.
Did you cry? And, did you cry for
you know what?
Aaron Rodgers when he got a boo-boo?
Aaron Rodgers got a boo-boo.
Sorry. No, I mean it's not happy to see Green Bay.
I know that one person in here is really hoping that Aaron Rodgers gets, you know, physically injured so he can swoop in. I'll be there for you.
I'm happy right now.
Okay. But that's it. That's all we got. Until next week.
Hasta luego.
Anything else you want to say? Should we tell Amazon, Black Friday, go on and bookmark, go on janejack.com and bookmark Amazon.
You can order.
See Jack's just worried about the bottom dollar. I was going to say, I wish all of our listeners, thanks for downloading, a happy Thanksgiving, right?
No, I can't wish them all a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, where did you guys lose me at?
You were gone?
Where did we lose you?
We're good.
We didn't notice from us.
No, yeah. we were talking about Green Bay.
All right, we didn't even notice you were gone.
We said they suck, and that's it.
We moved on.
We move on to Thanksgiving right now.
No, what I was saying about that is they showed something on the Monday night game, or on Sunday night about the quarterback rating against all the cornerbacks and safeties of Green Bay, and it was like the lowest one was like 105.7 or something. Basically, quarterbacks are picking apart their backfield.
No, they're terrible. Yeah.
That would make sense. That's why people can score on them so easily. I mean, we should have known it when the Jacksonville Jaguars on the first week just like annihilated the Green Bay defense, right?
Right.
Should have been a red flag right then. So, but
it happens.
It does. Anyway.
Finish your happy Thanksgiving.
No, I have nothing else to say. You know, happy Thanksgiving.
No, I'm serious. Just wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
Turkey for you. Turkey for me.
watch your Charlie Brown Great Pumpkin Thanksgiving Miracle special, and be with your loved ones or what have you. So, I don't know. I love Turkey Day for all of football. Yeah, I love Turkey Day for football. It's one of the few days that we have the ability to just be like, yeah, I'm watching football on a Thursday.
It's Dad's Day.
Yeah. Kind of is.
My wife gets mad every time I say it, but it's Dad's Day. And she goes, why is it Dad's Day? I go, well, who's doing all the cooking? There's football on. That's for dads.
Join us when we do a crossover with the broadcast.
Go ahead and say it, Matt. Go ahead and say it.
What? Where Shandy would give us a differing opinion, I think, right now.
Well, the next day is kind of like Mom's Day because it is Black Friday shopping.
Yeah.
And Shandy would also have something to say about that. Why is it called Mom's Day and Black Friday?
We could call it Chick Day, but I don't think that would be.
Probably should have stopped this podcast a while ago.
It's
turkey. It's called Turkey Day to Chick Day.
All right, guys, that's
Tune
all we got
for Cyber Mondays when you can download the next episode. Great show, guys. One in a million. Started off strong, and then Russ came along.
Yeah, hasta luego and goodbye.
If you somehow made it all the way through this, Carl, see you next week.
That was good.
You gonna say anything, Russ?
Goodbye, guys.
All right.